Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaura Gopinath Shri Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai. Navadvipa Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai. Ganga Maya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaura Pacharana. Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paskatya Desitarine. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Samsajivam Sagvaitam Sagvadutam Parijana Saita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishatam Vitam Shta Vanchakapa Chubhishta Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. Today is December 11th, 2023, in Mayapur, this is the Bhaktivedanta Academy, right? At the Bhaktivedanta Academy, and we're going to be reading, from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1. Did you start all over again?
First time. We just started with
Bhagavatam. Oh, really? You didn't have before. Do you like to have a little different? So, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 8. Vedatvam somyatat sarvam tatvatas taranugrahat bruyasnigdasyas sishyasya Guravo Guyam Apyuta. Veta. You are well conversant. Who knows what conversant means? Yeah. That's a very, very good guess because you hear the word converse, right? Which would be conversation. Yeah? Sounds like it could be a discussion. Yeah? What else? Any other? Anyone else? Yeah?
To
know how to make the people believe what they say. Conversant means that you really know a lot about something. And it probably has something to do with the fact that you can talk about it. Is my English slow enough for all of you? Can you all understand my English?
Yes.
How many of you speak English as your first language? How many of you have English as your mother tongue?
A few of you.
So to converse is to speak. And if you're conversant, you can speak a lot about something and you know what you're talking about. Twam, your honor. So why do you think Prabhupada would translate it as your honor? Yeah? Yes. But what does twam mean literally? Yeah?
You.
Just you. Somya. One who is pure and simple. Tat. Those. Sarvam. All. Tatvata. In fact. Tat. There. Now that's interesting. That's a T-H-E-I-R. Belonging to them. Anugrahat, by the favor of, Bruyuhu, will tell, Snigdasya, of the one who is submissive, Shishyasya, oh, you guys would know what that means, right? What would that mean? Yeah? Well, a Shishya is a what? Yeah? A student, yes. And Shishasya, what's that ending mean? Yeah?
Student.
Yes, students, and asya, when you have asya at the end. They're learning Sanskrit, yeah? Yeah? You know, not plural exactly. It's plural something else. Yeah? Of. You're looking at the of. Yes. Okay, so of the disciple. So in English we have we show that with what we call a preposition. You all know that?
Yes.
So like that's of, by, around, when, where. And in Sanskrit, so if you think about the English word preposition, pre means what? Yeah? Before. And position means where you are. Right? But in Sanskrit, do they put the preposition as a preposition? Where do they put it? They put it as a they put it at the end, and they make it part of the word, right? We do that sometimes. Like instead of saying of the disciple, we'd say the disciples with apostrophe s. Guruvaha. Okay, what's that mean? Yeah. Guru, yeah, but
spiritual
masters, plural. Guyam. Oh, you sure know this? What's Guyam? Rajavidyaraj Guyam. Yeah? You're good guess, yeah? Good guess, but no, yes? No, yes? Well, that's the Raja. Raja is the king. And Raja Vidya is king of knowledge. But Guyam, what's a Guyam? Yeah?
Intelligence.
Oh, good guess. We also have this word in the Upadeshamrita. Yeah?
Essence.
You know, it sort of kind of could be that. Yeah? No, well, that was a good guess too. Yes?
Sacred?
Secret. And essence was very close. That's very, very close. What's the secret essence of something? Okay. Api uta. Endowed with. Oh, goodness, that's a hard word. What does endowed mean? Anybody want to guess what endowed means? So if someone were to give a lot of money to Bhaktivedanta Academy, we would call that an endowment. They gave a whole lot. If you're endowed with, it's something that you have. It's like a gift that you have. So I bet you some of you are endowed with a lot of strength, and some of you are endowed with a lot of intelligence, and some of you are endowed with a lot of creativity. Like, okay, Srila Prabhupada's translation. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you. What does endowed you mean again? Yeah? Like paid the school? Like they gave you something, right? They endowed you. They gave it to you. Your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed. Bestowed and endowed means the same thing. If I bestow something on you, then I endow you with it. You follow? Yes? I'm bestowing this pair of shoes to you. I'm endowing you with it. All the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us about all that you have scientifically learned from them. All right? And a lot of you decided, I'm not going to listen anymore because this is very difficult English. So let's try again and see if any of you can translate this into simple English for me. It's hard. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. So what are our two synonyms so far there? We have what? Yeah?
We have endowed and bestowed.
You have been endowed and bestowed. That's one set of synonyms. And there was another set of synonyms there. Did anybody find it? Can you listen again, see if you can find it? It's hiding. Is that going to make you warm? Not going to make you very warm.
I don't think so. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Yeah? And? Yes. You help him? Do you sit next to him in the exams and show him your paper? So submissive and gentle. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from him. So because you got it, you can give it. Can you give something you don't have? No. So because he got it, he could give it. What did he get?
Mercy. Yeah?
He got mercy, and he got mercy to get what, yeah?
Knowledge.
Yes. Okay, Prabhupada's purport. It's a short purport. I know the English is difficult, especially in the first canto. Do you know why the English is especially difficult in the first canto? Yes. Well, Prabhupada explains so much in the first canto. Does anyone know why else? Yeah?
Because he thought that he wouldn't have enough time to write the full...
The full Bhagavatam, so he like packed it all in. Any other reason? Yeah?
In the first canto, there's more philosophy than stories.
I'm not sure. That'd be an interesting thing to look at, because we have a lot is in the first canto that's similar to the Mahabharata. I think that's more the second canto. When I was first reading Prabhupada's books, and I was reading, I decided I was going to read every word all the way through, and the first canto was a lot of stories because it was a lot of like Mahabharata and Pandava stories. And then I got to the second canto and it was philosophy and philosophy and philosophy and philosophy. And a lot of it was hard, like calculation. It was time by the atom, which is second or third canto. Anyway, then I get to the third canto and the story. What's the first story in the third canto? Do any of you know? Yeah? You want to try? Yeah? Oh, that's all the way in the seventh. And seventh wasn't even translated when I was reading that, yeah? Pudina! Oh, she doesn't come till the tenth canto. That certainly wasn't translated yet. Yeah?
Krishna.
Well, Krishna's all over the place. But there's an incarnation of Krishna in the beginning of the third canto, yeah? Oh, no, that's eighth canto. No? Yeah?
Matsya
is also eighth or ninth, I think. Yeah?
Kurma.
No, Kurma's in the eighth canto. Yeah?
Varaha.
Yes! Varaha! So after reading philosophy, 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 and some of it was very hard, then I got to Varaha! And then I didn't even go to Prasadam. I was just reading about Varaha. But there's another reason that the purports in the first canto are a little harder, and that's that Srila Prabhupada wrote them when he was in India before he came to America. And he hadn't had as much chance to practice English with people who speak English. So Prabhupada learned old British English here in Bengal. And once he was translating the rest, he was in America, and he was talking a lot to Americans. And so his English became a little less formal. Yeah? Okay. So Srila Prabhupada's purport. It's only one paragraph. And I find when I read Prabhupada's purports, even to adults, they space out. But let's try. Okay? Can you all see if you can remember one thing from the purport? All right? Everybody see if you can remember one thing. It's only one paragraph. The secret. Oh. What was the word there about secret? Guya. Excellent. The secret of success. Who would like to be a success in life? Who wants to be a success? This guy wants to be a failure. All right. You want to be a failure? You do, huh? Okay. The right answer must be yes, he figured. Okay. The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. Could you give insincere blessings? Yeah, you could. I definitely could give insincere blessings. Please bless me. Please bless me. Sure, sure. You're all blessed. Is that sincere?
No.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has sung in his famous 8 stanzas on the spiritual master. I'm going to ask you which verse this is in Sanskrit. You already know without my giving the translation? I bet you could. For we have to get the blessings of the guru, which verse is that we sing in the Guru Vastika? Do they sing the Guru Vastika?
Yes.
So which verse is from the Guru Vastika? Because you have to get blessings from guru. Yes. Oh, excellent. Excellent. Do you guys have any, like, sweet balls? This guy can use a sweet ball for that one. Okay, as follows in Prabhupada quotes, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Only by his satisfaction can you please the personality of Godhead. And when he is dissatisfied, listen to how Prabhupada translates this, there is only havoc on the path of spiritual realization. What is havoc? Yeah?
Chaos.
Yeah? Chaos. Do you ever walk on a path where there's chaos? You ever been on a street where there was chaos?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you go on the main road like during Gaur Purnima time or Kartik time?
Yes.
Is it chaos?
Yes.
Yeah. Or do you go, some streets have garbage everywhere?
Yes.
It's chaos? Okay. Havoc. Unquote. It is essential, therefore, that a disciple be very much obedient and submissive. Those are two what? Synonyms. Do you remember the synonyms in the verse? What were the synonyms in the verse? Yes.
Bestow and...
Well, that was bestow and endow, but the ones about being... Yeah? Submissive and gentle. Excellent. But you got to remember the other ones. Yeah. Srila Suta Goswami fulfilled all these qualifications as a disciple, and therefore he was endowed... What's a synonym for endowed? Tickling boys here in the front. What's a synonym for endowed?
Bestowed.
Bestowed. Excellent. You can hear even when you're tickling your neighbor. Therefore, he was endowed with all favors by his learned and self-realized spiritual masters, such as Srila Vyasadeva and others. I learned how to do that when I was in school. I learned how to read a book under my desk and still listen to the teacher. It comes in very handy. I can still do about 3 things at once. The sages of Namasharanya were confident that Srila Suta Goswami was bona fide. Therefore, they were anxious to hear from him. Oh, right. I want everyone to tell me one thing from the purport. One thing.
Secret.
Secret. He was tickling and fooling around, and he remembers. Something. Varaha. That was, I said that. I wasn't in the purport. That doesn't count. Yeah? No? So if you're going to tickle, then you have to learn how to multitask, you see? I don't mind if you're fooling around, as long as you're hearing. But you have to learn how to multitask. If you can only do one thing at a time, then you have to hear. Yeah?
Gentle.
Yeah? I told you I was going to ask you something. Yeah?
Success.
Excellent. Habit. Yes? Yes? Whoa.
If you submissive to the spiritual master, you can give you the knowledge, but if you're not submissive, then you'll only be chaos and the practice the knowledge.
Excellent. Where are you from?
Russia.
And I can see children who hide behind other children. I was a teacher for a long time. I was a teacher for 27 years, so I can tell when children are hiding behind other children. So what did you remember? And what did you remember? You just remember to hide, yes? Yes, you?
Submissive.
Bestow and endow, yes?
Successful.
No? Yes?
Doubt.
Huh?
Doubt.
I can't understand you.
Doubt.
Doubt? Doubt. Okay, yes?
Submissive.
Submissive.
Gentle.
Okay, we'll go back over here. Yes? Spiritual master, yes? Sutta Goswami, very good. Okay, yes? Secret of success, yes? Huh? You don't know. Well, okay, honesty is good. Yes? Huh? Failure. Oh, well, that was, I said that. Ah, oh, but at least you were listening to me, so that was good. Yes? You right there? Yes. Havoc. Okay, yes?
Secret of success.
Secret of success, yes? Did I ask you already? No, I didn't. Did I ask you yet?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Give blessings. Excellent. You can only give what you have. Yes, I said that. It wasn't in the report, but good. Yes? Yes? Yes, you? Spiritual master. Okay. And yes, you? What? Havoc is chaos. Yes. Did I ask you already? Yes. Okay. Did I ask everybody? Did I miss you? Oh, no. See, I was so proud that I could see everybody, and then Krishna hid somebody from me. Yes. But that was what I said. That wasn't even perfect. But that's a very good skill to have, by the way. It's very good to be able to do several things at once. It comes in very handy. Yes? Naimasharanya. All righty. Does everybody want to be a success?
Yes.
What time do I have for you?
8:15?
Okay. All right. You remember something else in the purport. What's that?
Astya.
And this gentleman here should also get a suite if you have any. Is he like that in general? Use it well. Don't be proud and use it well. All right. So what do we mean by success in spiritual life? Yes? Going back to Godhead. Okay, but that just sounds like geography. That just sounds like I have to move myself from one place to another. Yes? Achieving love of Godhead, yeah? Get attracted to Krishna. I like that, yes?
Make the whole world into a temple.
Make the whole world into a temple. Well, that would be a little awkward, I think. Well, how would you grow food? You'd have to have a place inside the temple with a big garden or something. Make everyone in the whole world devotees. All right, but that's not success for your spiritual life, although that's very nice, yeah? Meeting Krishna. All right, I like a lot of these answers. Who here wants to be successful in their spiritual life? We have two people in the front who do not. You don't want to be successful in your spiritual life? You just want to fool around? All righty. Okay. Uh-oh. You know, I'm going to tell you what you have to do to be successful. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, it's hard. It's not what you think. So if you're going to love Krishna and you're going to be attached to Krishna, that means you have to wake up who you really are. Are you a soul?
Yes.
You're actually a soul, right?
Yes.
You're not just like a little kid here in Mayapur. You're actually a soul. But what's covering ourself? Yeah?
Maya.
Can you be a little bit more specific? Yeah.
Material body.
Yeah, but that's not a problem, actually. All right. Sense gratification, because we think we're our body, yeah? I really like that. It's a very deeply thoughtful answer. Yes! Maya, what does that mean? Maya's covering us, though. Someone who hasn't said something so far. And I hated, I always hated it when teachers said that. I'm like, why can't I say it again if I know? Somebody who hasn't said something so far. I was just like you guys when I was in school, same way. Yeah. What? Laziness. Oh my goodness, I like that. Laziness is from Tamagun, yeah?
Being covered by Kali.
Oh. But you know, when we say that Maya's covering us or that Kali's covering us, it sounds like we're a victim, doesn't it? Yeah?
Illusion,
but that all sounds like I'm a victim. It sounds like I'm just sitting here and I'm minding my own business and I want to love Krishna and all of a sudden, whoop, Kali and illusion covers us. How do I get all these samskaras, do you know?
By just grow up, you first born, then you grow up, then you get sick and then you die, and then you just get some.
All right, you guys ready? You ready? You ready for what it is?
Yeah.
Yes, Devesha. It's our false ego. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. You know that verse? Does anyone, who knows that verse? Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Who knows that verse? Yes, what is that verse? Do you know it in another language? What language do you know it in? Hey, cool it. You can do that if you can tell me what the verse I just quoted means. Then you can hit him on the head. What does the verse I just quoted mean? So you don't know. So then you have to pay attention. When you get expert, you can hit him on the head and know, then that's fine. But if you're not expert, you can't do that. It means I think I'm the doer. I'm doing everything. I'm making everything. I'm building everything. It's all me. Have you heard the verse Ishwaraham Aham Bhogi? Does any of you know that verse? Don't know the demon verses. Oh, you got to know the demon verses. Have you ever done a Prahlad Maharaj play?
Yes.
So much wealth do I have today. More and more will come my way. All my enemies I have killed. Thus my plans I will fulfill. I am the controller. I am the doer. I am perfect, powerful. And I'm happy in this world doing what I want to do. That's our problem. Now you want to know another secret? That we're already actually perfect and powerful. Hey, cool it. I just heard Prabhupada say this morning. He said we have all the qualities of God. So we are actually controllers and we are actually perfect and we are actually powerful and we're beautiful, and we're intelligent. We're actually all geniuses. But as a servant, do you understand the difference? Do you understand the difference? When I'm acting as Krishna's servant, then I am perfect, and I am powerful, and I am beautiful, and I am intelligent, and I'm everything I want to be. I already am. I don't even have to go to school for it. I don't even have to get any training. I'm already perfect as a soul, as a servant of Krishna, as someone who loves Krishna. But when I try to be independent, then I have a false ego that I'm wonderful and I'm the doer. And can you sit over there so you stop playing with him? Thank you. And that keeps me from being successful because it's not who I am. All right, so how am I going to become successful in spiritual life? So I could say, well, I should follow all the rules, right? I should hear from a guru to chant Hare Krishna. How many of you chant Hare Krishna? Well, that's a lot. All right, but you might just chant Hare Krishna mechanically. You might just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, what's for prasadam anyway? You understand? Is that going to give you success? No, it's not even going to touch your false, thank you. It's not even going to touch your false ego. You understand? But what does this verse in purport say? What do you have to get? You have to get what from the guru? Yeah? You have to get knowledge and you have to get? Yeah? Blessings. What kind of blessings do you have to get from the guru? Sincere blessings from the guru. Sincere blessings. So a lot of people don't understand that either. They think, well, I won't chant Hare Krishna, I won't follow anything, and I'll just get blessings. Is that funny? People do that all the time. People come to me all the time and say, am I right, Devish? All the time. And say, Armila, can you give me blessings? Can you bless my child? Can you bless me? What do you think they're really asking for? Yeah? Exactly. You know what I call that? I call that magic dust. They just want some magic dust. They want me to go, okay, now you can have everything you want without having to work for it. Magic dust, magic dust, magic dust, magic dust. Is that sincere blessings? No. So what do we have to have? We have to have this, if we're really going to follow guru, that means we follow the guru's instructions, but not mechanically, not, well, I'm following your instructions, so you have to bless me. Does that work? And not, well, I'm just going to be lazy and just give me some magic dust. So I see both problems. I see devotees think, if I just chant lots and 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 lots, I'll japa, 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 and I just bathe in the Ganga, Ganges, 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 Ganga. If I bathe in the Ganga, Ganges, lots and 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 lots of time, then I have to get my love of God. Or they think, well, I'll just chant some Hare Krishna and I'll bathe in the Ganga, Ganges sometimes and I'll get magic dust. Or they think, maybe I can do both. I'll chant lots and 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 bathe lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and I'll get some magic dust and then I will go back to Godhead, like getting on a rickshaw and going someplace. So what we need to do is we need to realize that what we're trying to do is love Krishna. That's a person. If you want to love somebody, if you want to be friends with someone, if you want to have a relationship with someone, you have to do things that make them happy, and you have to get their genuine affection. Does that make sense to everybody? So that's what bhakti is about. And all of the chanting and all of the bathing and all of the mantras is to try to do things that make Krishna happy because we love him. And if we don't already feel that we love him, is to try to help us love him. And we want his blessings not like magic dust, but we want his blessings because we know that I'm never going to be enough to please him by all of my chanting and all of my bathing and all of my mantras. And he has to also reach out to me. I can't force him. And that's the secret of success. Okay, let's put it really, really simply, because then I'm going to ask you to repeat it. Do the things that please Krishna, so he will be pleased. Do the things that please Krishna, so he will be pleased. Don't do the things that please Krishna so you can be a big controller. And don't just try to please Krishna without doing what pleases him, to try to get some magic dust. And if you do the things to please Krishna, so he will be pleased, then your guru will also be pleased. You understand? We shouldn't try to please gurus separately from Krishna. Then that's like demigod worship. Like Prabhupada was one time asked, what will please you the most? And what did he say? If you love Krishna. You already said, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? If you love Krishna. I was just reading a quote, the devotee said, Prabhupada, we cannot repay you. And Prabhupada says, no, you don't have to repay me. You have to serve Krishna. You have to please Krishna. And that way we please Guru. By pleasing Krishna, we please Guru. By pleasing Guru, we please Krishna. Isn't that fun? Yeah? So to do the things that please Krishna, so Krishna will be pleased. Can we all say that together? To do the things that please Krishna, so Krishna will be pleased. I just gave you a little bit of Rupa Goswami's verse. Does anyone know what verse I just gave you a little bit of? This is a very, 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 very hard question. Any of the teachers, what verse did I just give you a little bit of? Yes? Oh, no, but I'm so glad that you tried. To do the things that please Krishna, so Krishna will be pleased. There's a very, very important verse by Srila Rupa Goswami, and I just gave you a part of it. Excellent. Anya bilasita sunyam gyana karma anavritam anukulena Krishna anashivanam bhakti. Which part did I give you? Excellent, yes. Excellent. Alrighty. Well, it is 8:10. What do you think? Can you do some things today to please Krishna so Krishna will be pleased?
Yes.
Oh, can we say that again? Yes. Do the things that please Krishna so Krishna will be pleased. Okay. And then what will we get? Spiritual what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge and spiritual?
Power.
Success. We'll get spiritual success. And when you have spiritual success, what will you know? I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm a soul. Yes? And when we're a soul, we'll get everything we want that we're trying to get in a very stupid way in Maya. Are there any questions any of you would like to ask me? Yes? I already told you a story about my life. I told you a story of how I wrote those books, so I already did that. Yes?
Can you tell us a story about how you became a devotee?
Oh, but that's a very, 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 very long story. And I have 4 minutes. And I don't think I'm a devotee yet, so that's also a problem. But if you want to know a story of how I joined the Hare Krishna movement, do you all want to know that story?
Yes!
Okay, if you really want to know that story, then sometime when you're on the internet, you can go to urmiladasi.com and you can go to my unpublished essays, and I have a 3,000-word essay there because I get asked that all the time, and so I decided to just write it down and put it online. Okay, so you ready?
Yes.
All right. So what's your youngest student here? 7 years old. Who's 7? Who here is 7? You're 7? And you're 7, and you're 7. And you were very attentive. That's very nice. Oh, okay. So I was 4 years old. Do you remember what you were thinking when you were 4 years old? Remember? So I was 4 years old. And so my parents were very, very religious, but they were Jewish people. And I asked my mother, why are we Jewish? Why do we worship God as Jews? And she said, because that's what my mother is. And I said, why is your mother Jewish? And she said, because her mother is. And I said, why is her mother Jewish? She said, because her mother is. And I said, well, that's silly. I said, we should do what's true. I said, I am going to find God in a way that is true. So that was my first step. My second step was when I was 8 years old, and I was reading in the encyclopedia, which you probably, none of you have any idea what that is, but I was reading in an encyclopedia about reincarnation, and I said, that's what I believe. And nobody liked that, my teachers, and nobody liked that I believed in reincarnation, but I said, that makes a lot of sense to me. So then when I was 9, I had never met anybody from India. I grew up in New York City, and there were Indian people that were walking around New York City, because in New York City, there's people from all over the world, any country you can think of, walking around New York City. Any country in the world, they're there. And I definitely saw some Indians there, and I said, I really like India. And so I asked my parents for a map of India, and I put a huge map of India on my wall. And then I asked for little dolls wearing Indian clothes, and I had them in my room. And I said to my mother, I really want to wear a sari. So she didn't know any Indians. Actually, in those days, not very many Indians were even allowed to visit America. But she had one friend who had been to India. So you've sometimes seen those little dhotis that are already sewn, that little kids wear. Yeah. So she made me a sari like that. It was sewn. You know, sari is just a piece of cloth, right? But she sewed it together, so I put it on. Do you want to, any of you want to guess what color the sari is that she gave me? Nope. Yeah? Nope. Nope. Yeah? Nope. Close. Yeah? Nope. Yeah?
Nope.
It was saffron color. It was made out of silk. It was a saffron silk sari. So I got that when I was 9 years old, and I used to wear that around the house, and I'd wear that when people were wearing costumes and things like that. Okay, so now let's, around that same time, I was praying, not in a Hare Krishna temple. Well, first of all, there weren't any Hare Krishna temples in America at that time. And I had an experience where I left my body, and I was at the top of the building, looking down at myself, and I went to the religious teachers, and I told them about it, and they didn't know what to tell me. They had no idea. They said, they just didn't give me any answers. All right, so let's go now to when I was 12 years old, and when I was 12 years old, I had sisters that were much, much older than me. One of them got married when I was 2, and one of them got married when I was 3. So the one that got married when I was 2, she lived in New York, about 2 blocks from 26 Second Avenue. Do you know what 26 Second Avenue was? Yeah? Yeah?
That's where the first ISKCON temple was.
The first Hare Krishna ISKCON temple was, yes. And her husband had actually met Srila Prabhupada. But anyway, her husband introduced me to all kinds of famous people, but unfortunately he didn't introduce me to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada made a recording of chanting Hare Krishna called the Happening Album, and the man who made the recording was trying to sell it, so he had a shop where he would play this recording all the time. And when I would visit my sister, I would walk around the area, and I would walk into that shop, and I would listen to this recording of Prabhupada chanting. So that was the first time I actually contacted the Hare Krishna movement. I was 12 years old, and there were pictures there of Krishna from India. And I would look at the pictures, and I would listen to the chanting. But I didn't buy the record. Okay, so then, move ahead a little forward. I was 14. Anybody here 14? Do you have any 14-year-olds? Just one. Okay, so I was 14. And every morning when I would get ready to go to school, I would listen to the radio. And I would listen to a station that played a lot of interesting music. It didn't just play like the most popular music. And I turned on the radio, and I heard Govinda Madhi Purushan. And I'm like, what is that? What is that? So on the radio, either before or after the song, they tell you who sings it. But I had come when the song started, and they must have said before, so they didn't say who sang it. And I started listening to the radio every minute that I could, trying to hear that song again and find out what song it was. I heard it one more time. And that time they said, it's by the Radha Krishna temple. And I had a dream that I had every music in the world, but not that one. And then I was looking and looking and looking. So I went in New York to the biggest record store in New York City, and I said, I want to find the Radha Krishna temple album. And they had to go to their warehouse, and they got it for me. And the picture on that album was of Radha London Ishwara, and there's also a picture of Prabhupada. And there was some papers inside about Krishna consciousness with the paintings that were on the front of Krishna Book Volume 1 and Volume 2. So I used to listen to that a lot. And then one day in school, I was at the library in the study hall, and one of the other students, whose name was Bill Trengrove, but I didn't even know his name then. He was just one of the other students, and he was reading Krishna book. And I said, I have that picture from my record. And he said, would you like to look at the book? And I said, okay. So I didn't have much time, so I was just like looking at the pictures in the book. And then I had to give the book back to him, and he said, would you like to come to the temple? I'm like, what temple? He said, every Sunday I go to a temple in New York. And I've always been a very adventurous, high-risk-taking person. And so I said, sure! So I didn't even know this person. He was just another student. It was a big school, 2,000 students. So I didn't know him. And I didn't know this temple, but I said, sure. And then I just told my parents, I'm going with this student from school to a temple in New York. And my mother's like, who is this student? I'm like, I don't know. His name is Bill. What is this temple? I said, I don't know. But my parents were very liberal. Hare Krishna. Anyway, so we went to New York, and I went to the temple, and I was like, wow, I think I've seen these people before. So maybe I had, I don't know, because I used to regularly go to Tompkins Square Park, so maybe I had seen them in this life, I don't know. But as soon as I saw them, I thought, I've seen them before. And I talked to one devotee, and she talked to me for 2 hours, and then I thought, this is all the truth. This is what I want. And so we were going back to our home, and I looked at Bill and I said, this is all the truth. This is, I want to do this. And he said, could you explain any of it? And I'm like, no. So we went back one more time, and that time I asked them, what do I have to do to join the Hare Krishna movement? I talked to another lady, and she did something very sad. She did not tell me to chant Hare Krishna. Can you imagine? Somebody comes, what do I have to do to join the Hare Krishna movement? She didn't say, chant Hare Krishna and give up meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. She didn't say that and read Prabhupada's books. She looked at me and this boy, and she must have thought he was my boyfriend, which he wasn't. He wasn't even my friend. And she said, you'll have to get your own apartment. I was 14 years old. Imagine that. And I'm just like, wow, I guess the only way to be a devotee is I have to have my own apartment. All I can think of now is she must have thought I was much older, and she must have thought that this guy was my boyfriend or my husband or something. But I was just like, so I didn't go back. And after that, people would ask me, what do you believe? And I would say, I believe in Hare Krishna. Do you want to hear the rest of the story?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay, so at that time, I was studying Judaism in the Jewish Theological Seminary. So I was studying from the most learned and most intelligent, supposedly, rabbis about the Bible. And I asked them, I said, it says in the Bible that God wrote on the stone tablets with his finger. But you say that God has no form. So how can he write on the stone with his finger if he doesn't have a form? Don't ask that question, they said. That's offensive. This was also when I was 14. And then I said, and it says in the Bible that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on top of Mount Sinai, and then Moses goes down, and he sees people behaving badly, and he gets angry, and he breaks the tablets, and he goes back up the mountain, and God said, because you're angry with them, I'm going to kill all of them. And we're going to start over with you. And Moses says, you can't do that. You promised my ancestor that he would have numerous descendants, so you can't kill everybody. And God says, yeah, you're right. And I said, I don't understand this. God gets angry, and then Moses changes his mind. Now, for us devotees of Krishna, this makes perfect sense. But if you think God is not a person, it doesn't make any sense at all. And I said, how does this happen? Be quiet, they said. Don't ask that question. That's offensive. So I said, okay, I'm not going to practice this religion anymore. I said, if I can't ask questions about the most important part of their whole history and their whole philosophy, then I'm going to look for something else. So I started chanting Hare Krishna all the time. And I started actually chanting mostly verses from the Ishopanishad, from the record, but I didn't go back to the temple. And I used to meditate from when I was like 8 years old I would always do my own kind of impersonal meditation. And I thought that spiritual success was to become one with God, to merge with God. That's what I thought, because I didn't know anything. So I was 17 and I was meditating, and I actually started to merge into the Brahmajyoti. And then I got up and I said, I don't want to become one with God. Oh, no. And then I decided, if I don't want to merge with God, maybe I don't want to be spiritual after all. My whole life, when people say, what do you want to do? I said, I don't want a family, I don't want a career, I just want to find God. And then when I started to merge into the Brahmajyoti, and I stopped, and then I said, maybe I don't want to find God. Maybe I don't want to be spiritual, because I didn't really understand Krishna consciousness. And so then I tried for 2 months to be a real big materialist, which didn't work out very well at all. And after 2 months of really trying to be a materialist, I said, my dear Lord, I don't know who you are. I don't know what your name is. I don't know who you are. But help! And then I was with one of my best friends, and she went, this was in college, I was in university by this time. I was 17, so I was with one of my best friends, and we went to the room of her boyfriend, and her boyfriend's roommate had a book in his room. What book do you think he had? Yeah? No, Krishna book, not yet. Bhagavad Gita. And I saw the Bhagavad Gita. I said, is this the Hare Krishna book? And he said, yeah. He said, I got it from somebody selling it on the street, but I've never looked at it. I said, could I read it? And he said, yes. So I took it back to my room, and I started reading it. And I was reading it, and 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 don't tell my teachers, but I skipped all my classes. And I didn't eat, and I didn't sleep, and I was reading it, and reading it, and reading it, and reading it, and that's it, I said. That's it! That's what I was looking for. And then I had a time when a part of my university, you had to have a job. It could be a paid job or an unpaid job, but you had to have a job. So I got a job at a museum in Chicago, and I was looking for the devotees. It wasn't like today where you can just talk to your phone and ask Google where things are. It was very difficult. And I couldn't find the devotees. I was looking everywhere. I couldn't find them. But I was going to work, and I was chanting mantras from the record. And then 2 weeks before it was over, I found a devotee on the train. I said, oh, Hare Krishna! I've been looking all over for you. And he said, we have a temple very close to here. Really? So I went to the temple, and I talked to one devotee, and he said, you know, if you really want to become a devotee, you're going to have to surrender to a guru. And I'm like, I don't want to surrender to anybody. And then I came back 2 days later. I said, okay, I'm ready. So that I came in the temple, and I talked to the temple president, and he said, well, we wake up early in the morning. And I said, well, I've woken up early in the morning my whole life. My daddy taught me to wake up at about 5 in the morning. And he said, and we have these 4 principles, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. Can you do that? I said, yes. And he said, okay, you can stay. So I was 17, so I wasn't legal age, so I didn't tell my parents. Don't tell them. So I stayed for 2 weeks, and I went to one Mangalarti, and I'm like, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. I want to get out of bed and sing and dance. But I wasn't 18, so after that work was finished, so I went back home, and I finished that semester of university, and I told my parents, I'm dropping out of school, and I'm going to move in the ashram. And so then when I was at school, I started cooking from the Hare Krishna recipe book and offering it and giving prasadam to people. At least I tried. I don't know how good it was. And I tried to wear a sari, but you couldn't buy saris in America then. There were hardly any Indians there. So I just bought a funny piece of cloth. It was too short. It was like all the way up to here. And it was too short this way, and it was awful. I must have looked completely ridiculous. And then when that semester finished and I dropped out of school, and then I went home, and my friends were saying, are you sure you want to join the Hare Krishna movement? Are you sure? Maybe you should do something else first. Maybe you should do this. Maybe you should do that. I don't know. And my mind started going, am I sure? Am I sure? Am I sure? And then I got an invitation in the mail. We are going to install the deities of Kishore Kishori tomorrow at 3:00, and you are invited. And Super Soul said to me, you have to come. So I said to my parents, I have to go now. I said, I have to go tomorrow. So I went the next day to Chicago, and when I walked into the temple right when they were installing the deities. So I still haven't become a devotee. I'm still working on that, but that's how I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Was that interesting?
Yes.
I'm still trying to join the Hare Krishna movement. So it's late, so we should probably stop now, otherwise your whole schedule will be messed up. You have a very urgent question. Yes. I did.
How?
Sometimes, the subtle body can leave the gross body.
How did you leave?
I don't know. It just happened when I was praying.
And what?
I was in the ceiling. I was in my subtle body in the ceiling, and I could look down and see my gross body. But I didn't understand what was happening, because no one had ever taught me that I wasn't my body. So I didn't understand at all what was happening. We were all praying. It was in the summer at a summer camp with a bunch of kids. Yeah?
Did your parents have any problems with you leaving?
My father didn't. My father, when I came back from my 2 weeks at the temple and I told my parents, I'm going to drop out of school and join the Hare Krishna movement. And my father said, when I was 18, I was also looking for God. He said, then I got married and I got into business and I didn't really do it as I wanted to. He said, I'm so glad you're looking for God. He said, I wish you would do it in our own religion, but that's not important. He said, what's important is you're looking for God. My mother had a complete fit. My mother was very upset. It took my mother 10 years to be okay with the fact that I was in the Hare Krishna movement. 10 years. That's a long time. That was a very long time. The reason that she changed was that she saw that our children were very nice. My children, yes. You don't think I have children? I have 3 children, and I have 13 living grandchildren. One of them is sitting right there. And I have 2 great-grandchildren. And my last name is Best, so I'm the Best great-grandma. Is that funny? Yeah, so my mother saw how nice our children were. And she said, you must be doing something right if your children are so nice. My father met Prabhupada about 5 times. And the day that Prabhupada gave me the Gayatri Mantras, my father became a life member of ISKCON. Yeah.
What was your group experience of starting the
movement? What was it like? Well, first it was far out that, I just experienced the Brahman. And then I felt like I was losing myself. I felt like the I would disappear. And it became frightening. Actually, it became scary. I felt like I was being drawn in and that my sense of identity was disappearing. I became terrified and I broke my meditation. And after that, I thought, I'm not going to meditate anymore. I thought, forget about finding God, forget about meditation, I'm just going to be a materialist. That didn't work out very well. I didn't do that for very long, thankfully. Yes?
How did your great-grandchildren?
My great-grandchildren, Abhimanyu is 6. And Nisinga is 3. He'll be 4 in January. Yeah? Oh, that's a very good question. So people think that if you give a blessing, that it's going to be just like you're going to be sprinkling them with something that's just going to be magical, and it's just going to solve all their problems for them. Like if someone says, give me blessings, and they want me to put my hand on their head, and I feel like they just want me to, make some kind of, magic for them. Like they want me to just sprinkle them with some magic that's going to make all their problems go away. And they're just, after I put my hand on their head, they're going to be, oh, I don't have any more false ego. I love Krishna. All the problems in my life are gone. My foot doesn't hurt me anymore. I have enough money in the bank. Everybody loves me. They just want some kind of magic like that. And they misunderstand the whole meaning of blessings. Your father calls it spoon feeding? He calls it spoon feeding. I call it magic dust.
Yeah.
Do you understand now what I mean? Thank you for asking that. That meant you were really thoughtful. Yeah?
Can you tell us how did you write the Sechel of the Essence?
How did I what?
How did you write the Sechel of the Essence?
How did I write Essence Seekers? Oh, I think we're good. Well, because I was asked to do a new translation of Raghunath Das Goswami's Manasiksha, and at first I thought I would just make it into a story. And I tried that, and I couldn't do it. I didn't know the book well enough. So then I stopped, and I spent 3 years doing Manasiksha, Raghunath Das Goswami's Manasiksha. And then I started working on Essence Seekers, and I tried a few times, and then I just got discouraged, and then I stopped. And I stopped for a long time. And then I had this thing on my phone. They don't have it anymore. But they had this thing on my phone on Google Calendar where you could ask like artificial intelligence to schedule things for you. Like you could say, I want to exercise 4 times a week. Please put it in my calendar. And it would do that. They don't do that anymore. So I just said, I want to work on my book 5 times a week for 30 minutes each time. And it would schedule it for me. And it felt to me like it was another human saying, you have to work on your book now. You follow? Instead of my saying, I want to work on it now. Careful. And so the first 2 or 3 times it was hard. It's like, okay, my calendar is telling me to do the work, so I should do the work. And then I just started loving it. But that was also, I felt like I was reading it as I was writing it. I felt like the story was unfolding through me, but that I wasn't really writing it. And I was just having lots and lots of fun, and I figured it would be useless and it would never get published, but I was having a great time. And then I showed it to a professional editor who'd worked with devotees, and he read the first draft, and he said, this could be a great book, which really surprised me. But then we had to do a lot. I do a lot of editing work. A lot, a lot, a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot of editing work. Okay, you kids are getting restless, and it's time to stop. So we're going to stop now, because even though some of you are interested, the percentage of people who are getting restless is growing. So thank you very much for having me here. All right, what do we have to do to be a spiritual success? Who remembers? The whole thing. Do the things that please Krishna. Krishna will be pleased. All right, thank you. Hare Krishna.